Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. James, chapter 2, verse 1. We have learned that James' name in the Hebrew means Jacob, who is the father of the 12 patriarchs, who are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes have split. Two of them call themselves the house of Judah. They have scattered, but they have in part returned to the land of Jerusalem. The other 10 tribes call themselves the house of Israel. They were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian. They migrated into Europe, into Canada, and scattered into the United States of America. So it's to the 10 tribes scattered, and 12 tribes scattered, really, that James writes this. Now, James writes a lot about faith. In the first chapter, he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation or trouble. In other words, if you are serving God, you're dedicated to him, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Count it all joy, jump for joy. Then he began to say the devil's trying to even the playing field and take you out so you won't fulfill the mission God has planned for you. And so then he says, here's how you overcome those hard things that come your way that seem too hard. You get wisdom, and you get wisdom from God's word. And we did a deep study on what to do for sickness or money or relationships or everything, and he said it's all there. So he said, go to God's word, and there's a promise for each problem. Find the promise that fits your problem, and then do not waver one minute. No matter what the banker says, no matter what the news says, no matter what the doctor says, if God's word says something else, you stay with God's word. Very few people do this. This is why you don't get a victory. But I'm telling you, who's gotten some victories, the only way you can do it is set your face like a flint and stay with the word. And that takes faith, okay? Now, we come into chapter 2, and he's going to continue talking about faith. Why? Why is James, the half-brother of Jesus, talking about faith? Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you know that? If you're not living by faith, and Martin Luther started the whole Protestant movement by finding in Paul's writings in Romans, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so what is faith that you've got to have? If faith is what it takes for you to please God, everybody want to please God, say amen.
Amen.
We all do. We love him. Well, what is faith? Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, right this minute, now, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right now, what you hope for, the substance exists. Though you don't see it, it exists. In other words, that takes a lot of faith. There's something called quantum physics, and I had a little booklet about that. I loaned it to someone, never got it back. But as I recall, that a scientist would study into a microscope, into the galaxies, and there would be nothing there. But if you stare long enough, eventually little molecules, little doodads will start appearing, little cells or something will form. So God made everything out of nothing. So faith is believing this, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. In a group, a prayer group, all the grown-up adults were going around giving their definition of faith. And there was a little boy in there, and his grandma was not too good. So the preacher said to the little boy, what's your definition of faith? And he said, believing something you know ain't so. I thought that's pretty good. So now we go to chapter 2.
My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
Now it sounds like he's saying you don't have faith, does it? No, what he's saying is, do you not know, Christian, in your trouble, that Jesus has given you faith? You know, people will say, my faith's not as strong as your faith. No, let's equate faith with a jump rope. You're giving a jump rope, I'm giving a jump rope. Now, the one of us that jumps the most has got the strongest legs, right? Okay, faith, you have to exercise it. Some people never exercise it, and so you say you have no faith. Jesus says that he gives everybody a measure of faith. So everybody born is given some measure of faith. So don't say you don't have any. You just haven't been using yours. It's atrophied. Okay. And he said in Mark, he said, If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's tiny, you shall say to this mountain, move, and the mountain shall move into the depths of the sea. Oh my, you say, I don't want to move a mountain. No, you don't. What would you do with all that dirt? That's not what it means. Mountain means government. It means Satan's government, the Antichrist's government, the demons of Satan, the Kenites, the children of Cain, all the ones, the aggravations, the demons and fallen angels and people of Satan who have come and are picking at you with that trouble. Do you understand?
Yes.
And you have, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you have that faith.
Verse 2, for if it come unto you a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment.
Now, James is talking to Christians, to the tribes scattered. He's talking to us. We're here in America, 10 tribes, a larger bulk. To church folks, not to lost people. The church was new then, because this is one of the earlier books. Paul hadn't yet written all of his wonderful epistles to tell us how the church order should be. So he says, okay, you're going to assemble yourselves. You're an ecclesia, the Greek word, called out ones, set aside ones. So the doors open, come to worship. We have the Savior. And so people come in. And he said, I see that people come in, and they are very wealthy, and they're dressed really good, and they have a gold ring. In Bible times, the gold ring was a signet ring. It was a symbol of great wealth, because that man could take that signet ring, dip it in wax, and his credit was good for anything he wanted. He could have bought a yacht. So then he says, you see them coming in. They will come into your assemblies, and then you will see the raggedy ones coming in, the ones that are not so cleaned up, the ones who seem like the outcast of society. Now, let's see what kind of faith you have about this, church.
3, and ye have respect of him who wears the gate clothing.
Oh, you give him more honor.
And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there.
You go stand over there in the corner so nobody will see you. We don't want to mess up our beautiful service here. Now, you think this doesn't go on in churches? Yes, it does.
6, here under my footstool. Verse 4.
In other words, you can hide under here. No respect of persons. I can say one thing about Trumpet of Truth. I have always had a heart for the outcast of society, but there for the grace of God go I. And they have come in by the droves ever since I founded this school, and we've always loved them and made them welcome. One time I had a whole room full of them, and I love them. And always you want to remember that God does not look on the outward appearance. He doesn't care if they've got a gold ring or godly apparel. God looks on the heart. And if your heart is pure, then he accepts you.
Be not then partial in yourselves.
So he's going to say this is getting to be a sin, okay? He's talking about faith now.
And are become judges of evil thoughts.
In other words, you're beginning to think wrong thoughts. You're beginning to decide that you will decide who is worthy. I mean, are you going to sit beside him? And when you invite somebody else out for coffee after church, would you invite them out for coffee after church?
5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?
Rich in faith. Poor is not so much poor in money, but poor like humble. As a child. Jesus says, except you come as a child, you'll never get in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean to be childlike and foolish and not get things done, because God's children are wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. It means with a childlike faith, we're talking about faith, so that when God said something, he would do something. And he said, if a person has learned like a child to trust God and live by faith, you're the richest person in the world. I mean, a person can own houses and lands and be the king of this earth, but if they have not faith, they are poor. I always say, I am the richest woman in the world. I completely live by faith and praise the Lord.
And bearers of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and drive you before the judgment seat?
I mean, here you are teaching, treating these people to come into your church and not socializing with them, barely acknowledging them, and certainly not being their friend during the week like you are with others. But what about some of you who make quite a bit of money, and you work for a corporation for many years, like 20 years, and suddenly these big shots fire you from your job. You've been faithful, you've been loyal, you've been raised, and you got good money, and they fire you so they can hire somebody else to get a lesser salary. See what I'm saying? You had no mercy. You gave no mercy. You're going to get no mercy.
7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?
They were called Christians of Antioch, that worthy name Christ, Christian. You're a Christian.
8. If you prevent the way of life according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus just summed up the whole commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So you say, who is your neighbor? Now remember, he's talking about the raggedy ones coming in, the poor that can never put anything in your basket, can never help you, could never be a blessing to you, or the rich ones. So he says, who is your neighbor? Well, Jesus tells us there was a good Samaritan walking along, or riding along on his donkey, and he was on a business trip. And he saw a poor man lying by the side of the road bleeding. The man had been beaten and robbed and was left for dead. The Good Samaritan saw 3 church folks walk by, priests and Levites, and not a one of them would stop and comfort the bleeding man and hurting man. They had other things to do. How many times did you know that someone's hurting and you ought to pick up that phone and say, I'm here for you, I love you, I feel your pain? How many times did you know they need something and you didn't do it, I'll let someone else do it? How many times did you know there's a trauma here? How many times did you walk on by? The Good Samaritan went over there and poured in the oil and the wine on those wounds and cleansed them. Put the poor man on his donkey, took him to an inn. And he paid the innkeeper, said, take good care of him. I've got a business trip. I'll be back in a few days. Whatever else I owe you, take care of him. The poor man could give the Good Samaritan nothing. A good measure of whether you're doing any good in this world. How many help that can never help you back, that you're not getting anything out of it? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That there actually would be a sacrifice to you.
Ye do well. 9. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin.
So he says that's a sin.
And are convinced of the law of transgressors.
So the transgressors, that would be sin. So what he's saying is that's a sin. See, you think, no, but I go to church. You mean if I don't love the poor homeless one there, that doesn't mean you take them home with you or date them or marry them, but you can treat them like others. And there are caste systems, you know that yourself too, within the church. He says it's a sin. We don't ever judge by anyone's appearance. If you will learn to read a person's heart, you'll be okay. You'll get along with the people that you need to get along with. And the others, it'll be good that you don't get along with them because they weren't supposed to be with you.
10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, but offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Now, what does he mean by that? Sin cannot stand before a holy God. In other words, we're all going to stand before the Lord. There cannot be one drop of sin. You say, but I go to church, but I don't do this. I go to church, but I do this. I go there, I shouldn't. I don't do that, I should. But I go to church. It's not enough. All sins must be forgiven, and everything must be forgiven before you can go in. And if you have an habitual sin, that sin is just hanging there on you like some kind of a rope around your neck.
Beloved, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill.
So you say, well, I don't commit adultery. I don't have affairs with people, but I did kill somebody. Well, I don't kill anybody, but I did steal a bank. I don't kill anybody, but I gossip. I don't kill anybody, but I don't ever comfort a hurting soul. I know someone's hurting, and I've never raised my hand to help. Did you know that's the cruelest thing you can do? That's sticking your spikes into someone's heart when they know you, and they know that you know they're hurting.
Now, if thou commit no adultery, but if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law.
In other words, sin is sin. So none of us can have any sin on us when we stand before God. He cannot tolerate the sin in his presence.
12, so speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.
The law of liberty. Thank goodness. Here comes the good news. The law of liberty is forgiveness. He says if you will confess your sins, those secret sins, those things you do at night while others are sleeping, that stuff you watch on television that is pure filth, it's a sin. Confess your sin. Repent. Stop. Turn around. Fill yourself with God's word and God's spirit. And help the poor. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. In other words, that sin can be forgiven. That's the beautiful thing about grace. Jesus forgives. That's a beautiful thing about living by faith. So that means that all of these people coming in, we don't judge them just because you look this way or you look that way. We don't judge them. We forgive people as God forgives our sins.
13, for he shall have judgment without mercy.
And if you do see it, set your face like a flint to be a little holier than thou and judge, please stop analyzing. Don't try to analyze spiritual things. It's not something that you diagram and put it on a shelf. God is very emotional. His word is packed with passion, cries, laughter, warrior, howls. No analyzing, cold, dead, nothingness. No, that's not God's word.
That hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Mercy is love. In other words, we're going to, if you show mercy to others, the judgment seat of Christ, you will get mercy. You really do reap what you sow. We're going to all need mercy, so let's start experiencing it now for other people. Have mercy. How many people, how many times, I used to be riding my bicycle, and I would stop my bicycle, just screech, because I would see a homeless man lying there, and gingerly and prayerfully, I would go up to him and speak to him and say, you're hungry, it's close to the supermarket. And I said, if you'll wait here, I'll go in and buy you some food. And in other words, I couldn't walk into the store with the homeless man there hungry. What do? Just walk on by you in a hurry?
14, what does it profit, my brethren, that a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?
All right. Now, we know when we're studying Ephesians, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that we cannot work our way to salvation. Jesus did the work on the cross. He paid the sin debt. He shed the blood. He took our sins. But now he's going to talk to you, and this is all about faith. If you are a person of faith, and if you're not, you might not be saved because it takes faith to be saved. He's going to show you that you would have works. Now, we're not talking about like you clean the toilet at the church or sweep the floor at the church or wash the windows at the church. Those are good things. I do all that myself. Thought you'd like to know. I don't have any volunteers yet. Well, Scott's volunteers sometimes. Okay. Scott and Angela do. But my point is, that's not what he's talking about. Works are increasing the kingdom of God. Works are winning souls to Jesus. Works are getting the word to someone else. And everybody can sow a seed every day of the word of God somewhere. That's a work.
15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye well and full, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body.
Okay, that's like I have a prayer line. I might get a call. Help, help, help. I'm being evicted from my apartment. I have no place to go. I have to be out yesterday. Well, what do I say? God bless you. I'll pray for you. I get up and I start making calls. I start doing something about it. So what do you say to this person? What do you say to that person who just lost their loved ones, lost their job, crying, heard a bad report from the doctor? Do you say, God bless you, I'll pray for you? Or you put your work gloves on and start doing something about it? Sometimes the work is prayer. Especially when the problem is sickness, the prayer with the oil, anointed prayer, it must be anointed prayer, and you can have the anointing if you'll get out and let him in. The anointing just simply means that you vacated the premises and Jesus took over.
Amen. What does it profit? 17. Even so, faith, if it have no works, is dead.
Faith without works is dead. All right. Now, Jesus says in John 15 that he is the vine you Christian, we are the branch. If the branch abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. You see, in the natural, that little branch is getting its juice, its energy, its nutrient from the vine. And one day you look at the branch and there's little fruits hanging off there. If you are a person of faith, if you really believe Jesus is Lord, if you really believe the Word, you will abide in that and you can't help it. You're just going to win somebody to Jesus. You're just going to walk in and change the atmosphere. No matter how hard your life is, there's going to be a joy coming out of you that is attractive to people. Yes. You can't help it. You automatically bear fruit. Do you understand?
Amen. Yes.
But he said, if you don't, you're dead. What does he mean? That same little branch, that would be the Christian, if you disconnect yourself from the vine because you're too busy watching television, too busy thinking of your stuff, your fun, your junk, and other people's nonsense, and there's no more juice coming in, there's no more word coming in, there's no more spirit coming in, then you become a dead branch. A dead branch. Yet, you're right there by the vine. I go to church all the time. Have you ever won a soul? Have you ever tried? What are you doing about that? Do you witness? Do you share the word? Do you ask God to give you creative ways? Every day of my life, just show me some other way that I can reach someone, a new way, and be alert to everybody. Remember, that's your job. These other things fall into place.
Being alone.
The reason the dead branch is alone, it's cut off from the vine. Is the person really saved who never, ever, ever has any fruit to show? Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. So if a person is living the life of faith, you will see fruit once in a while, and hopefully more as we go along.
18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Okay, so people come in, and as a pastor, a shepherd, I will say to someone, they want to come up the bench, I'm going to pray for them, I don't know them. I want to say, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus? Are your sins forgiven? Oh, yes, I have faith. And, okay, I have faith. Okay, but do we have any fruit? Oh, I have faith, but I don't know the Bible. I don't pray. I've never heard. I don't do any good for anybody. I just take care of my business, but I have faith. Are you saved? See, there's something in you. When you find something good, you want to share it. When you find Jesus, you found something good.
Yes. 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
James shows a sense of humor here. He said, okay, you're sitting there saying you have faith. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church all the time, but I don't do any good in the world. Nobody would ever know I'm a Christian. I never make any kind of me. I don't ever start a project. I never think of anything new or creative to do for God. And so he says, but I'm a Christian. I'm just sitting right here. No, God says you're dead.
20, but this I know of any man, faith without works is dead. 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works after he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?
Now there's an example of faith. Abraham and Isaac were very, very old and had no children. And God came to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. Abraham's getting close to 100, Sarah's 90. And his name's going to be Isaac. And Isaac's sons, shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because Messiah will come through that generation. So then after Isaac was born, he was becoming a young lad, God said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. And he said, take him to Mount Moriah, put him on the altar for a sacrifice. Abraham got up early in the morning, got the wood, got the fire, and took the son. And at the foot of the mountain, Abraham turned to his servants who had the mules and everything, and he said, wait here. The lad and I will return. What a statement. God had just told him to kill his son for sacrifice. Now, up they go to the mountain. Isaac says, Dad, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham said, Yahweh Yireh, my son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And so Isaac was placed on the altar. The fire was lit and the knife was up. And God said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Now I know thou lovest me, that thou wouldst give thine only son. A noise was heard in the thicket, and it was a ram, a lamb, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. You say, how could Abraham do that? He believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, as we'll see next week when we finish this little chapter. Because what he knew, God had told him that Isaac was going to have a child, because in that seed would come Messiah. So that means, no matter what, if I have to kill Isaac, God's going to raise him from the dead. Because God had said Isaac's going to have a son. So he believed that. Now, you think your problem's hard to believe? But he believed. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. How's your faith? Remember that God gave you the faith. Now, once you put on your faith muscles and start working that faith, winning people in, remember your mission. We want to bring everybody we can in before it's too late. God bless you. We'll start right there next time. Well, it's time now for a mystery moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida. Oh, that food is good. Let's welcome Scott Merson. Yay!
Thank you. Okay, our first question tonight. Does Jesus really mean for us to raise the dead?
Absolutely. Jesus said to cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. However, the third level there, while that does happen in the physical, is that we are all, before we were saved, dead in trespasses and sin. So as the lesson tonight shows, for every time you sow the word of God and prayer and witness to someone, and you are instrumental in helping them to get saved, you have raised the dead. Every lost person is dead. I know they're walking around. You work with some of them. You really do. And they're dead. But when you get them saved by your witnessing, by your testimony, the dead are raised.
Amen.
But we do have the other occasion. We had another.
Yeah, and Jesus is our perfect example. He did both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus was the first fruits.
Our second question. A caller asked, I am not a preacher. How can I win souls?
How you can win souls is, first of all, get yourself filled with the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then ask God to place before you and give you a nudge to witness. Sometimes in witnessing to people, listen to people's heart. Most people are hurting. Find where they're hurting and remember in the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, the verse that might would help them in that. If they are totally adverse to the Bible, you could just quote the scripture without saying the actual verse that's on. I've done that many times. A little covert activity, that's good. That's acceptable in winning souls to Jesus. Sow seeds of God's word. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of kindness. That's what you do.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let's have Scott's stuff.
Answered prayer is a miracle. When prayer does not produce miracles, it is but empty words. A miracle is God moving into the sense realm. Don't condemn yourself for your doubts. Cure them by getting acquainted with your Father. Confession always goes ahead of healing. Don't watch symptoms, watch the word. Mm-hmm. And be sure that your confession is bold and vigorous. Don't listen to people, act on the word. Mm-hmm. Be a doer of the word. It is God speaking. You are healed, the word says you are. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the senses. Give the word its place. God cannot lie.
That is so great. Thank you, Scott. That's so appropriate. Next week, we're going to talk about be hearers of the word, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Thank you, Scott Merson. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but first, I want to plant a seed for you to get saved. If you're not sure you're saved, the time is close. We're in the fifth trump. The Antichrist is about to come. Everything's falling into place. What you're going to do, you need to do. If you're lost, you need to get saved. So please pray this prayer after me and mean it. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood.
For the remission of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Save me.
Save me.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me.
To bring others into Jesus' kingdom.
To bring others into Jesus' kingdom.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. I hope many of you prayed that prayer. And if you would like to call and tell me so, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. So feel free to call and leave that message. Say your name clearly and I will put you on my daily prayer list. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. I ask that the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow into bodies right now, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, even into the bone marrow and into the cells and the inner organs. And I ask right on out to the skin and every bone and vertebrae and every organ in the body. And anything that is out of order, I ask the hand of Jesus will touch it and put it in order, that miracles occur, that diseases be gone, that body parts get back where they need to be, everything in its proper place, perfect alignment, that pain stop. Jesus bore your pains, that you live and not die. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He relieves you from all this stress. He sent his word and healed you. Praise the Lord. Somebody got it. Feel free to call and tell me that too. My announcer will give you my telephone number. You might like to call and tell me that you appreciate these radio programs. That would cheer me up. Although I'm going to stay cheered up anyway. I'm like David. I encourage myself. Amen. You have to learn in this world. Just make up your mind to keep going. That's what you do. Well, we love you. Sunday's 5 p.m. over here at my school. Wednesday's 6 p.m. Thursday's from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott meets me here, and we pray for anybody who walks in or calls in. And then, of course, the radio program, you can get us on the internet, WMIEFM.com. Remember, I have many books of the Bible on there, so you can make a study. You can have people gather in your home, and you can study one book at a time right there on the internet. Won't cost you a dime. One book at a time won't cost you a dime. But it's God's beautiful treasures there. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. As we learn today, whatever you give, is that you give away. Do you know that he that giveth to the poor shall not lack? In other words, if you keep what you have, it makes you fat and sassy and kind of dull. But when you give it away, God will give you some more so you can give some more. So go and tell. This is Sherry Medlock, your host, and my twin friend Scott Merson, saying we love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Oh, great God, be small enough to hear me now. There were times when I was crying from the dark of Daniel's den, and I have asked you once or twice if you would part the sea again. But tonight I do not need a fiery pillar in the sky. Just wanna know you're gonna hold me if I start to cry. Oh, great God, be small enough to feel you now. not be setting out a fleece for you tonight. Just wanna know that everything will be alright. Oh, great God, be close enough to feel you now. All praise and all the honor be to the God of ancient mysteries, whose every sign and wonder turned the pages of our history. But tonight my heart is heavy, and I cannot keep from whispering this prayer. Are you there?
And with us sing, oh praise him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh praise him, oh praise him, alleluia, alleluia,
I heavens go up, heaven come down. Hands go up, heaven come down, giving him praise is the only sound. Hands go up, heaven come down.
Yeah, I will make my boast in Christ alone. trust in Christ alone. I will make my boast in Christ alone.
Yeah.
I will make my boast in Christ alone.
Alone.
I will make my boast in Christ alone.
Just our voices. Yeah.
I will make my boast in Christ alone.
Alone. In you, Lord.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Unfailing justice, unfailing grace, whose promises remain. Yes, your promises remain. Now unto the King who reigns over all and never changes or turns. Unfailing justice, unfailing grace, whose promises remain. Your promises remain. The heavens ring, the saints song sing. Great is your faithfulness. From age to age, we will proclaim. Great is your faithfulness. How great is your
worlds of trust unbroken. But fate foresaw my wandering eye that none could yet restrain, to violate the friendship I would cause him so much pain. And every time I close my eyes, I see the nails, I hear the cries. He did not keep himself away. He was no stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes. Feet so dusty, cracked with heat, but carried on by love's heartbeat. A man of sorrows, filled with forgiveness was his anthem. No feeble blow from tongue or pen could ever sway my love for him. Across the echoed hills he trod and reached into away. He was no stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes. He walked a mile. And away, he was no stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes.
He walked a mile.
You're listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.